gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Actually, it's raining in L.A. We're not really walking on sunshine.
No.
No.
It's Jim's here. It's our first day on TV, and he's here finally. Here he is. He even missed the beginning of the TV show, but that's not important.
It was because Geraldo Rivera stopped me. He thought I looked suspicious.
Yeah.
Oh,
sure.
You're wearing a hoodie.
You're wearing a hoodie into the parking garage again. Okay. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, day one on current TV, and it may be our last day, depending on how many times Jim does the Al Gore impression. I don't think he's going to like
it. Stephanie, it occurs to me you're using way too much paper.
Yeah. We think we already are using too much paper.
Yeah,
I think so. Our carbon footprint, we're like 30 seconds in.
In the making of this show, I can't even speculate.
Jim's the mimic, as Charlie Rangel calls him.
Yes, that mimic again. That got me in trouble.
Right.
Well, it wasn't my mimicry that got him in trouble. But
all right, so 7 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. We're just doing our regular old radio show, and Jim, as you know, they told us we don't have to change anything, just do the radio show, we're just going to put cameras in. Mm-hmm. However, there is a current executive right on the floor next to you.
On the floor, I know.
Breathing literally down your neck.
She was going to be sitting closer to you, but we...
No, she wanted to know if she could sit right there.
Yeah.
I was like, no.
Computer says no.
That won't be awkward at all. That's the first thing we've learned on day one. Current executives, no sense of spatial relations at all.
What are you doing now? What are you doing now? What are you doing now?
What are you
doing?
Guys doing? What are you doing? All right. We still have a big regular Monday show. Well, except we have a big TV star.
Well.
Right.
Yeah.
Cenk Uygur will be sitting right over there.
Wow.
Yeah. In hour number two. Eric Bowler joins us from Media Matters in hour three for Right Wing World and The Rude Pundit, who, by the way, he may be the first person that gets us fired.
Well.
Because if I read anything from his column on the air.
Oh.
You're fired.
All right.
That's a little too rude.
What I was expecting. Mm. All right. And I also mentioned, Jim, the really bad news for me is my 89-year-old Republican mom can watch now.
Uh-oh.
Hi, Mom.
Oh, boy.
She didn't get the radio show. She's probably already said, oh, dear, like probably 10
yeah.
times.
Why can't you wear a dress like that Rita Rudner?
Why? Really? The baseball cap? She actually said that to me yesterday. Steffi, I don't think I've seen your hair in years.
Well.
This is radio. I go to spinning class every day right after the show.
So you're wearing a spinning hat.
You're not going today.
Yeah. Well, no, because I'm going to drink champagne at Current.
Exactly.
I don't know why they think this is going to go well.
Champagne?
You know what?
All the Current executives came over for drinks actually yesterday at my house. And I thought it was just going to be one of them. And I said, how come everyone's coming? Am I getting fired? I seriously thought I was getting fired.
You thought it was going to be the one with the vineyard.
I did. And I was like, I said, I just want to know because I want time to steal the sign for a souvenir. I said, is this seriously? Why is everybody coming? Because it turned out it was fine.
Well, Danny Bonaduce shows up.
They just bring him as insurance. Oh, somebody already said that.
Robbie. His angel of death.
Yeah, Robbie. Well, people that know me know that Danny Bonaduce has replaced me on television several times.
That's right.
Shelly, if I see red hair outside that studio window
at
any point out of the corner of my eye, Robbie writes, hey, Mama, just out of curiosity, will you get extra credit for my DVR views of your show on Current when I watch the whole thing in slow motion? I don't know. That's a Current executive question. Just trying to see if I can help prop the numbers up before Bonaducci's inevitable takeover. Robbie, the official sleazy saxophonist of the Stephanie Miller
Show. Doesn't all saxophonists are sleazy? That's part of the job description.
Although the Stephanie Miller Show already wishes to apologize to all saxophonists who are clearly not sleazy. All right.
Well, doesn't Danny Bonaducci come in usually about 11 weeks into your 12-week run?
Sure. Yes.
Okay. So we have a little time.
They probably already got it covered.
Okay.
All right. Meanwhile, Mike and Raleigh. Oh, do we already have a Stephanie Miller video star?
Yeah.
Stephanie Miller video star. Stephanie Miller video star.
All right.
In my house or in my car, she tells fart jokes that go too far.
Mike and Raleigh. Listeners that send us free stuff.
Yeah.
Yay. Okay.
Because we sure can't afford stuff like that.
No. This is radio.
Yeah.
They asked if our people would do something. I'm like, we don't have people. We're in radio. This is it.
We are the people.
Rebecca, that's it.
Yeah.
Rebecca is.
Oh, we have to introduce Surly Rebecca at some point.
Yeah.
She's the Surly associate producer and screener. She's out there taking your calls. I actually literally, this is my favorite part of the show, is not when I'm talking, but when I go to the bathroom and I listen to Rebecca screen calls. And Friday, she actually said to someone, yeah, you know what? I know you feel like you worked on that, but that's not yeah, why don't you call us back? Jessica from Maine got through, so you know it must be good. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Steph. Yes, your official volunteer. My week can't get any better. You're
awesome.
On it Monday morning, so now I don't have to restrict myself to only listening to the show when I'm in my pickup truck.
Awesome.
And I even have a ticket to see the president on Friday.
Oh, my God.
You saw the president on this coming Friday?
This coming Friday, the president is going to be in Maine.
Oh, my God.
And I even got a ticket.
By the way, I don't know if you're a parent. I'm not. I'm a childless loser. But I thought the president's comments were so on point and just authentic and unbelievable about Trayvon Martin. Did you?
Yes. I have a son. I have a daughter. And I have, you know, not lived in Maine all my life, but, you know, down in New York and New Jersey. And it's like, I hate when I see the us versus them thing. And then I saw this thing on TV, this on the CNN this morning, where they were saying most of these.
No, you didn't see anything on any other network other than Current.
Yeah, well, no, I was watching the news at 5:30.
No, you weren't. All right, anyway, but I get your point. Go ahead.
But anyway, they were talking about those signs outside that, you know, when you go to these gated communities and they say there's a neighborhood watch or whatever. Most of the time there isn't. They don't make your neighborhood any safer. And the people in them are not supposed to be carrying guns because they make it more dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah, well, exactly. But, you know, I thought I couldn't believe that Santorum and Gingrich, you know, said the president's trying to politicize this or make it racial. And it's like, really? The guy called the kid an effing C-word for black person, and the president is injecting race into this.
Yeah, I know. And it's just really uncalled for.
Yeah. Yeah, but I thought, you know, he was so, Jim, did you watch him? He was so authentic, and I thought, I could picture Mitt Romney watching going, how does he do that? He's like,
someone teach me how to fake that authenticity thing.
Is that what a real human sounds like?
I'll have to adjust the diodes in my Rombot 2000.
By the way, in case you hadn't, we were in a Santorum surge again.
Again?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Yes, Louisiana. Woohoo!
Oof.
Yeah. Which is why I thought it was a perfect time. Jim, here's a guess the quote for this morning. Perfect time to start on Current today.
That's right.
Perfect time to be a liberal. Who said, let's see, hang on, here we go. These issues keep coming up for the right, I'm talking about contraception, etc., because they recognize in their heart of hearts they lost. They lost on women's rights, they lost on gay rights, they lost for the most part on abortion rights, they lost on the general profanity of the culture, and having lost so much, they're in a panic. Who said that?
Jerry Garcia.
No, that's completely incorrect. Todd Gitlin, the sociologist who was quoted
He's
in
good.
The LA Times this weekend in Robin Ibkarian's.
Yeah.
Of all the socialists you could have guessed.
Socialists? Oh,
pardon
good Lord.
Me. Oh, my God, a faux pas.
Yes.
Sociologist. All right.
It's so unlike you to mispronounce a word.
You can be a socialist and a sociologist.
Yes, exactly.
But no, that happens.
Sure. All right. At any rate, we have a new sponsor, don't we? We have a new airline?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure in honor of the...
Not Screaming Baby Airlines?
No!
It's a new day with new places to go. We're Transvaginal Airlines, probing our way into exciting new destinations. With more round trips to over 20 states that are going one way, we're the only airline that goes to such depths to inspect your personal carry-on. At Transvaginal, we know why you fly, and we'll be there for you, whether you like it or not.
Thank you, Mike and
Raleigh. Wow.
Mike and Raleigh strikes again.
Yep.
That is something special up in there.
I don't want to know what the in-flight meal is.
Oh. Dude.
Port Allen.
Placenta.
Jim. Louise. Did I tell you he's going to get us fired in the first
segment?
I know.
Al Gore heard that. He's going to kick us off right after the break.
If you had only been later this morning, I might still have a TV show. Cordell in Kentucky, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Cordell.
Good morning. I'm trying really hard to keep it together, but Jim's making it impossible for me this morning.
He is deliberately trying to sabotage me, Cortell.
It is the official gay boss screenwriter of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well,
I, too,
welcome.
Would like to add in some comments on the Trayvon Martin situation. I've got several to make here. The first is directed towards my liberal brothers and sisters. I want to get Zimmerman as much as the rest of you guys, but when I, you know, go online and I see comments like, you know, maybe we should grab a gun, maybe we should, you know, make his life miserable, maybe we should take him out.
No.
Guys, we really don't need to do that. There's enough right-wing lunatics that are making enough of those statements for us. Number two.
Basic police work would be all we'd ask for. That's really
Exactly, correct. Yeah. Number two, this is directed towards the conservatives that are listening. I've been noticing quite a few of you guys have been trying to point to the case of this 13-year-old boy that, you know, got lit on fire a while back and this elderly couple that got killed. And I see you guys trying to say, well, how come, you know, MSNBC and Al Sharpton and Ed Schultz and Stephanie is covering this? Number one, you got to ask yourself this question. Did the family ask for help? If the answer is no, you got no right to start spamming, you know, our online pages asking that, you know, they covered this. Number two, did the police botch the job? If they're actually doing this job, then you're trying to generate controversy where no controversy should exist. So you should stop that.
Yes.
Number three, I was watching the news this weekend, and I noticed the new Black Panther Party is offering a $10,000 reward for Zimmerman's arrest. Now, maybe it's me, but, you know, as a black person worried about, you know, this thing blowing up in our faces, am I the only one who is crazy worried that, you know, the new Black Panthers are getting involved in this? You know, we don't need this.
Yeah, it's like saying more footage for Fox News.
We don't need you to do that.
Look, scary black people. By the way, new rule, you're going to have to stop blurting out other networks' names.
Yeah.
While you're with me here on so it's already in the first segment, CNN and MSNBC. No. Oh, yes. Ooh. Oh,
wait,
current.
You just did.
Oh, Steph. Current. So good to see you on Current TV. All right. 18 minutes after the hour. I spent an hour on the phone yesterday with who? Do you want to know who, Chris? Someone we might find in Right Wing World.
Really? Oh. Will you tell us after the break, Stephanie?
Listen, I went to tease school. I can handle this.
You got it.
Can you do a tease on TV?
18 minutes after the hour. Right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm kind of known for having a twisted sense of humor.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Oh, everybody in the chat room wants to know, what am I eating? Leftover Thai food, and I'm drinking vodka. All right. No, I'm not. There's some orange juice. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Cenk from Young Turks joins us in just about half an hour live in studio. Very, very exciting. Day one of the big TV broadcast.
Oh, my God.
Okay. By the way, now that we're on TV, as we mentioned, people have to stop ripping us off. Talking to you, David Plouffe. He called the GOP primaries a clown show. Okay, we started Clown Car, Insane Clown Posse. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, Iota. Let's go to Mario in Florida on the Trayvon Martin case. Hello, Mario.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
My name is Mario, and I'm from Florida.
Yes,
and,
I just
I'm
said that.
I'm a conservative, but I love Current TV. I love all the stuff you guys put on.
Thank you.
And
yes, I'm in charge of all of it. Thank you.
All the stuff.
Thank you. Thanks.
Well, who knows? Maybe someday you will.
Yes.
You know, my point was I was listening to the guy before you and
Bill Press.
Bill Press. And you know, they touched on the Stand Your Ground law. You know, and I think that the Stand Your Ground law doesn't really apply to, you know, Mr. Zimmerman. If anything, it would have stood for Mr. Martin.
Right. That's right.
You know, I am a concealed carry holder, and I'm a competitive shooter. And something you realize, nobody—I haven't heard anybody from our community call these shows. other than political people. And I believe in the right to defend yourself and, mm-hmm. and carry guns and shoot guns. And but on the average, even a policeman, he might practice, you know, if you're lucky, twice a year they might do a qualification.
Right.
You know? And here's this guy. He decides to come out of his house to follow somebody around. He's got, obviously, some sort of police, cop, Rambo complex.
Yep.
Yep.
And now he's got a gun. And
well, that's why, you know, Mario, that's why there's everything wrong with this story. There's something wrong with the law. There's something wrong.
Well,
there's obviously a racial element.
Here's my point. Here's my point to it is that he decides to come out of his house and follow this guy. Now, this guy walking down the street that feels himself being threatened, being followed, he turns around and confronts him. Now, this guy that has a gun, if they get in an altercation, this fellow now has a gun that someone can take from him. So having a gun isn't necessarily make you super safe. It just it gives you an option, but it doesn't. I mean, if you train and you practice and all that, I mean, you know, bad stuff happens in Florida all the time.
Yeah, I know. All right, Mario. I read some study that if you're carrying a gun, you're more likely to think the other person, that somebody else has a gun as well. You know, it's just that's why this is a stupid law. It's like, oh, Skittles, sorry. You know, I mean, it's just the
well,
whole
also
thing is,
a lot of people who feel the need to carry a concealed weapon all the time are already paranoid,
and
they're probably people who the last people who should have guns.
Yeah,
but
there
are a lot of decent people who carry
absolutely.
Concealed weapons,
well,
and that's fine. But,
right, but
this guy
again,
obviously wasn't.
Once again, what happened with the police work? You know, I don't know if you heard this morning. A woman who says that she and a roommate witnessed the final moments of Trayvon Martin's life told Dateline NBC that George Zimmerman had his hands pressed on his back and never turned him over or tried to help him.
Hmm.
I mean. They didn't interview any witnesses. They just took Zimmerman's.
That's really.
And now it turns out he's had two previous. He's had a domestic violence incident.
Right.
And another. I mean, he said. Because they were like, oh, he's squeaky clean. It's like, what?
Yeah.
What kind of basic level of.
The cops are obviously.
Really, really shoddy police work here.
Yeah.
Well, it's worse than shoddy. I mean, I think they're.
That's why I put the two reallys in front of it.
Okay.
David in Boca Raton, Florida. Hey, David.
Hello. How are you, Miss Stephanie?
Good. Go ahead.
Congratulations. I'm a young black man as well. I'm 22, and I just wanted to comment in saying that, you know, I think this Trayvon Martin case really speaks higher levels in terms of what, you know, young black men have to go through. I mean, especially with the hip-hop era and, you know, with, you know, the propagations of what you see on TV about black men, you know, we don't always see Barack Obama, you know, and I you know, it kind of makes me feel sad because, you know, my mom growing up has to tell me that, you know, if you were to get pulled over by a police officer, even if you're on the right and they're wrong, do whatever they say, you know, don't look threatening, you know, when you go into class,
don't try not to look so black.
That's what Geraldo said this weekend.
I know,
we'll
talk about
that.
He got
into a lot of trouble.
And I teased who I talked to yesterday and then I forgot to say. I may be too old for TV. Okay, 29 minutes after.
Well, will you tell us after this break?
Yes, I will.
Oh, boy.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
On TV!
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Routsy. If you ride public transit in L.A. or San Francisco, get Routsy for iPhone and never miss the bus again. Visit appsontheradio.com to find out more.
Yay!
All right. And don't forget, Sexy Liberal in Albuquerque this weekend. There's only about 50 tickets left, although they may be gone now since we're on the TV.
Hmm.
All right. Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, and I in Albuquerque this weekend for Sexy Liberal. Get it. Check it out. Sexyliberal.com. Sexy Liberal on Facebook. All right, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Oh, okay, so now I remembered what I teased. So guess who I spent an hour on the phone with yesterday?
Who'd you spend an hour on the phone with? You never spend an hour on the phone with anybody.
Sean Hannity.
Oh?
We have a little thing, you know,
A love-hate thing.
Well, you remember the last time he came on? He's such a baby. You have to write him 1,000 mm-hmm. times. You have to call him.
And send him gifts.
You have to assure him that you will be kind and gentle to him, just like the assurances he gives all his liberal guests.
Sure.
I'm on Current now. I'm sure you watch all the time anyway. I know what an Al Gore fan you are. You know what? But this has been a big subject in radio, mm-hmm. the Rush stuff and the boycott, and I came out in support saying it hurts all of us in the radio business, all this advertiser boycott stuff. Let's come on and talk about it. And so he's considering it. He says he has to ask Fox, which I'm sure that'll go really well. Oh, dear.
God.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't. He goes, he said, you know, is this the person that makes fun of me every day? I'm like, yes. I told you I make fun of you every day.
And you know what? Just last week, he played a clip of you on his show and made fun of you.
Did
so,
he really?
Yes, he did.
Well, I didn't know that. What did he say?
I have no idea, but I got 1,000 tweets about it. So,
bastard.
I don't know exactly, but it was part of his little thing on hate on left-wing radio.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. See what he did there? And he didn't even tell me that.
Right.
I'm like, yes, I say you have a big, gigantic, you know, brontosaurus head with a
little... You can't make fun of me.
With a little tiny tic-tac brain. Of course I said that. What's your point?
La, 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 can I hear you? La, 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 la.
He has Flintstones.
Oh, he said that he heard I talked about running into a radio conventions. And that he always says the same thing, why do I like you? And I'm like, you can't help yourself. And then we have the whole thing. And anyway, he was very hurt by that. He said he cried. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure you could barely get to the bank to cash your ginormous checks. I told him, you make my life awkward by doing the Laura Ingraham orgasm, and then I have to run into her at right-wing radio conventions.
He was crying tears out of that giant Fred Flintstone noggin of his.
Giant Fred Flintstone head.
Yeah.
All right, so anyway, we're trying to get him on this week to talk about this whole controversy. All right. Baby. Baby. Okay, real quick. Oh, I wanted to play the president. I was just talking about, before we go to Rude Pundit, I wanted to talk about, I just thought he was amazing.
My main message is to the parents of Trayvon Martin. If I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon.
Mm-hmm. And the right wing went nuts.
Yeah, the right wing went crazy, of course. Yeah. Oh, the president making this racial. Standing there being all black and everything. What? Zimmerman made this racial. You know, I mean, I thought those comments were just so human and as apparent. And, you know, it was, I thought he hit the perfect tone. Anyway.
Meaning
right.
He could have been anyone's son, is the point.
Yes.
He
has.
Oh, it's black. Yep, it's black, good. black, race. Of course.
Did you hear what else Newt Gingrich said? He said, well, frankly, the president should stop acting so Muslim-y.
Frankly. Hey, why, sir,
people Muslim-y. Think he's a Muslim because he keeps acting all, you know, Muslim-y. Yeah. All right, let's...
You know, acts Muslim-y as George Bush when he's kissing Saudi princes on the mouth.
Yeah, I'm bowing to them.
True. It was in the ear. Okay, let's get rude, shall we?
Sleep up at the Rude Pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning. Wow, you're charging out of the gate on current TV.
People, I guess the question, are you toning anything down, has been answered. Asked and answered.
Yeah, I'd like to know the number of men and women who are watching without pants right now.
Yeah, well, me too. All right.
That's your key demographic right there.
And I know you always do this pantless, but until we get Skype, and then you're going to have to stop that. Then you have to put
my favorite 80s band, Men Without Pants.
Are you kidding? Skype is a pantsless guy's best friend.
Yeah. Because you only have to be clothed from the neck up.
Just don't stand up.
Didn't someone ask, can the listeners be on Skype? I'm like, no. I know none of you are wearing pants. All right. So, Rude, you wrote some great stuff this week, as usual, stuff that I cannot read on my little family television show.
Oh,
however,
no.
But you know, one of the you make a great point. As we say, it is amazing how the gun people immediately rush in any situation to go, oh, the gun law has nothing to do with it. As you say, the NRA and Florida legislators killed Trayvon Martin as surely as the gun did. You said you make guns as easy to get as a package from Amazon, regular shipping. That is easy. I do it all the time. You pass concealed carry laws. You pass a law that says if people have a reasonable belief that they're in danger of death or great bodily harm, they can kill the out and of someone in public. No need to run away. No need to call the cops first. Just spidey senses a-tingling. Did you not expect that at some point some creepy vigilante wouldn't get the chance to live out his Batman fantasies?
Uh-huh.
And that says it in a nutshell, doesn't it?
Yeah, the reason when he wouldn't back down, when the 911 dispatcher told him to back down,
yeah.
That to me is the end of the story. There's no longer a threat to him. There's no longer any imminent threat. And in fact, you know, the complicated thing for me is, what if Trayvon Martin was standing his ground? I mean, doesn't he get to? I mean, could he have used deadly force after being pursued by a you know, whitish man in a pickup truck, which might have some implications for a young black man walking through a neighborhood.
Yeah.
So who do you think felt more justifiably threatened, the guy with the gun or and a pickup truck or Trayvon Martin?
Well, Zimmerman's trying to claim that he got, you know, punched in the nose or something. Well, you know, even if he did land a punch, it's against an armed guy who was pursuing him. He's on tape.
Right. In fact, that's right. So, so what you have, you know, what if the tragic situation is you have two people who were standing their ground, who both felt threatened, although I don't know why Zimmerman felt threatened when he could have driven away.
Well, and excuse me, the other thing, the point you just made, Jim, if he did even land a punch, it's, then he knows he wasn't armed. If he'd had a gun, he would have pulled, I mean, so why deadly force? That's the other thing. Why not shoot someone in the kneecap, I suppose? I mean, if you're going to, like, go down the list of what should have happened.
But
I mean,
in his defense, he was wearing a hoodie, so.
Yeah.
According to Jerry Rivers, that's.
I mean, it's like clockwork. You can count the ridiculous things that people on the right are going to say, right? I mean.
I mean, you know, there are people. There was somebody this weekend who was saying, well, do we know why he was in the neighborhood?
Yes.
And I was like.
He lived there.
He's visiting his dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to say, well, he was obviously there to bait a gun nut into shooting him.
Yeah.
Isn't that obvious? Mission accomplished.
Yeah. And on cue, here is Newt Gingrich.
It's not a question of who that young man looked like. Any young American of any ethnic background should be safe, period. We should all be horrified, no matter what the ethnic background. Is the president suggesting that if it had been a white who'd been shot, that would be okay because it wouldn't look like
him? Yeah, that's what he meant.
That's just nonsense.
You idiot.
Yeah, that's what the president meant. I mean, seriously?
Yeah, I mean, it's the Hunger Games out there for black youths in this country. You know, it's... The idea that this is not, that there's not a racial component to this is ludicrous. It's ignorant. And you know, it's ignorance of the worst kind because it's just putting up blinders to what the world is, what the nation is.
Right. And Rude, how are you ever going to solve the problem if you don't look at all the pieces of it, whether it's the gun law and the racism? I mean, when you have 911 tapes with him using, you know, racial terms and a racial slur,
Now. He says, a friend of his says what he really said was he called him a goon.
Sure.
Did you hear that one?
Sure.
That's a new one.
He called him
a goon. And a goon.
Punk, goon, what's the difference?
Yeah.
He said a goon is a term of endearment.
Much
like mook.
You use a term of endearment
just before you shoot someone.
Yeah, Chris tried that on me once. He's like, I said you're a runt.
Yes.
I said you're small.
Well, your sisters are taller than you.
Well, if nothing else, if I was in an altercation with somebody or somebody was yelling at me and said you're an effing goon, I'd have at least stood there confused for a moment.
What?
I'm not a guy with a pipe about to break your knee. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, Candy Crowley played clips of Gingrich and Santorum criticizing the president for politicizing the Trayvon Martin shooting. His response, the Republican primary has become a circus show, a clown show. I don't know that there's many people in America that would share that reaction. You know, this is this Republican primary at some points has become more of a circus show, a clown show. Those two comments are really irresponsible. I would consider them reprehensible. This president spoke movingly about this tragedy as a father, made it clear there's an investigation going on. So I think these comments are really hard to stomach. I mean, it really is incredible. You just think there is no low they won't go to in this primary.
And even Lindsey Graham on State of the Union yesterday on a network that shall not be named said, condemned the remarks of the Republicans. Lindsey Graham said, we all know there's a racial component to this.
Well, would you like to hear that now that you brought it up?
Why,
thank you. Here is Lindsey Graham on some other network.
We all know there's a racial component to this, and when the president highlights it, I don't think it adds a whole lot, but nobody suggests that the president's insensitive to the 17-year-old if he'd been white. So I think the criticism by our guys is a little off base, and I don't really think the president added a whole lot by interjecting himself into it.
Good for him. Wow.
I would just like to point out my dead-on Lindsey Graham impression.
You were good there, Rude.
That's awesome. David Plouffe went on to say of Gingrich's comments, those comments are reprehensible. Speaker Gingrich is clearly in the last throes of his political career. You can make a decision whether to go out with some shred of dignity or say these irresponsible, reckless things. He's clearly chosen the latter.
They are loving dancing on Newt's grave right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
He's afraid that Callista's going to return back to her native Mars.
Yeah. Or finally it'll be revealed she's the zombie we always feared she was.
Wow.
Is there a standing ground law where he lives? Can she unhinge her jaw, her alien-like jaw, and consume someone?
Just consume.
Legally?
Consume Newt whole. Wow, that would be one unhinged
wow.
jaw.
Wow. Yeah.
That would even take piranhas a while.
Oh,
all right. Your rudeness, rudepundit.blogspot.com. We will talk to you next week. Thank you, honey. Don't forget to powder next week.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yay, Rude Pundit.
Rude Pundit, yay. All right, 45 minutes after the hour. Ooh, it's getting very close to jank time.
I know.
Feeling janky.
I'm feeling young Turkish. All right, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
All the time, bitch.
Good.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I will.
Yeah, yeah.
What happened to Sheena Easton?
She did Vegas for a long time.
Really?
Yeah.
She's in Branson now?
I don't know where she is now.
All I know is she's the only one that works out in, like, high heels.
Well, in the mid-90s,
this is how
she
women
did.
Work out. I go to spinning class to the show, which is why I'm dressed like this. She did that commercial for something,
in the
right?
90s.
Yeah. I'm wearing high heels right now.
Sure.
You just can't see. Okay. The whole theater of the mind for radio.
Yeah.
Gone. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from New York. I clean up for Sexy Liberal. I'll have hair in Albuquerque this weekend.
Will you take off the baseball cap?
Yes. Mm. Yeah, you know I tart it up for Sexy Liberal.
Yeah, you do.
All right.
You show a little leg.
Yeah, I'm already, like any chick, I'm just completely insecure. Like, Julie in Seattle just wrote already and said, you look great this morning.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, I saw that picture on the current website and went, oh, dear. And I'm like, what's
wrong? What's
wrong
with that?
What? Do I look fat? What? Okay. Yeah,
what does that mean?
And the current folks said, you look great on Jennifer Granholm's show last week. I'm like, what do you mean? I look horrible on the radio show because of the, right? Because of the baseball hat, right?
You're complimenting me because you hate me, right?
You hate me because I'm insecure.
Oh, boy, there's that.
I'm telling you, I got the first oh, dear from my 89-year-old Republican mother. When I told her I'm just doing the show like usual in the baseball cap, she's like, oh, dear. She still hopes I'm going to marry Sean Hannity. She was thrilled I talked to him yesterday.
Oh,
she's like, oh, that's so nice. He seems so nice. What?
Oh.
In
like,
what
no,
world
really?
Is that nice?
Okay, Jake in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Jake.
Hey, I'm just wondering, how do we take the race out of the Trayvon Martin case? Because it's dragging it down. It's pulling out the other side, saying, pulling out the reverse racism card. And I totally respect Obama on his stance.
What do you mean, how do you take the race out of it when the perpetrator, the shooter, has, you know, used racial epithets? How does it not become racial?
Well, I respect that, and, you know, they're saying, oh, first he's white Hispanic, and then it's, oh, he's Hispanic. But why don't we just wipe it clean and look at the law?
What does his race matter? His race doesn't matter. He's
right.
The one that used the racial slurs against
person. I'm saying that race shouldn't be involved at all, and we just look at the law.
But it clearly was.
But
it
is part of the. I mean, you can say Martin Luther King was shot because he was a reverend, but that wouldn't be the case.
That's not the case.
Yes. All right. All right. And furthermore,
yeah. Wow.
Yeah. See, that's
sorry.
A white man always tries that. If you even mention race, you're racist.
See, there you go. Racializing it again. See what you did there?
How can you racialize slavery? How dare you?
I think the president addressed it as a parent, in my opinion.
When I think about this boy, I think about my own kids. And you know, I think every parent in America should be able to understand why it is absolutely imperative that we investigate every aspect of this.
By the way, when there's marches in every major city, these amazing, you know, million hoodie marches and all of that, and this isn't, I mean, how does the president not speak about this? You know, I mean, it not only is just a racial issue, it's become a huge national issue that I think has transcended race. Martin's parents thanked the president for his words. They said in the statement, the president's personal comments touched us deeply and made us wonder if his son looked like Trayvon and wore a hoodie, would he be suspicious too? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really good point. The president basically was saying, I think we all need to do some soul searching to figure out how does something like this happen. That's the president again.
I think all of us have to do some soul searching to figure out how does something like this happen. And that means that we examine the laws and the context for what happened, as well as the specifics of the incident.
You know, Sandy Banks in the L.A. Times this weekend was talking about her daughter, college student daughter. Mm-hmm. She said she had been online for hours tracking Facebook posts and news accounts. She's never been the protesting type, but she was making plans to march this time. She showed me pictures of white kids taking to the streets in New York in hoodies, hoisting bags of Skittles. It's not about race anymore, she told me when I asked why so many people seem to have made Trayvon a martyr. This is about justice, a crazy man who shot a kid who wasn't bothering anybody. You don't have to be black to know that's wrong.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, if you ask me, this has transcended race, which I think is the good news. Let's go to Ken in Cleveland. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Kenny Pick.
Well, happy current TV to everybody.
Thank you, honey.
Yeah, I couldn't help but notice the scheduling directly after talking liberally with Stephanie Miller. They're going to be broadcasting the movie Network.
Yes. Yes.
I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it. And stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
But make sure you set your DVR to Talking Liberally with Stephanie.
Yeah.
Yes, and I just want to say, I hope that this comes out a lot better than the end of Network, okay?
Yes,
well.
If history's any guide, it won't, Kenny, but thank you for your kind thoughts.
We can't open the windows in this room, so.
We are having a representative from Current come in the next hour, so we'll see what happens.
We'll see. We may not be on next hour, who knows?
Yeah.
Jessica in Topeka, Kansas. Hello, Jessica.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi. How are you?
Good.
I have been wrapping my mind around this question. I haven't heard anybody answer it for me. I want to know why the police officers, you know, I guess Mr. Zimmerman had a bloody nose and, you know, a contusion on his head. What makes them think that that wasn't Trayvon Martin trying to save his own life?
Right.
You know, I mean, nobody has answered that for me. And why didn't the cops sit there and think, okay, maybe those wounds are from Trayvon Martin trying to save himself?
Right.
Because as you know, the lady that, you know, has went on national TV and said he was straddling his body and things of that nature, I sure as hell would be punching and fighting my way out.
And Jessica, why didn't they interview?
Gun.
They didn't even interview his girlfriend who was talking to him on the phone. I mean, this is
sick.
Yeah, this is why.
And
you know,
I'm a white person, and it has really made me open my eyes and think, oh my gosh, I've profiled, you know, not going around certain streets because there's gang members and things
right.
like that. And my son has even asked us questions about this. Mom, what do we, you know, what does this all mean? And, you know, my son at 12 years old said, this is wrong. This is so wrong, Mom. Why aren't they arresting him? So if a 12-year-old can see that, it just makes me wonder, what the hell were those police thinking?
Yep. That's why I think that's exactly that's why the president's response was dead on. It was as a parent, as a human. I mean, you know, the fact that there was a racial aspect, the president's the one that injected that. Michael in Jersey, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Mike.
Hi, how are you?
Good,
love
go
your
ahead.
Show.
Thank you.
I'm just puzzled by a couple of things. I mean, did the police actually interview or Mr. Zimmerman at all about or check him his blood, the blood on his clothes, gun residue on his hands? Did they do any of the normal police work?
Doesn't
can
sound
I just
like
say
it.
One else?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just one other thing real quick. I'm a mixed race background. And one time my mother told me that, and I grew up in a place that was 90% white. And my mother told me, always expect a white person when they get mad at you to, like, say something really nasty, racial. And no, wait.
Yep, all right, hang on. All right. Cenk Uygur joins us next from Young Turks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Speaking of lovely welcomes, you remember what they sent along last week? My goodness, I believe
that. Not a question of who that young man.
Or not.
What?
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Mama's going to be on the TV. Mama and the Mooks.
Yeah.
Current television will be televising all 3 hours of the Stephanie Miller Show.
A moment of television history.
God, you are pure television.
Tell me this. Do they have auditions for television?
That's all television is, my dear. Nothing but television.
Now, dear, you've been watching too many of those live television shows.
Television is responsible for the utter degradation of our society.
This is David Schuster, and Stephanie, I am so excited. Our little hammock is going to be paid for by Current TV. Welcome aboard, my friend.
This is Jane Huber of the Young Turks, and we want to welcome Stephanie Miller to Current TV. We're super excited about it. Welcome home, Stephanie.
I'm Keith Olbermann.
Stephanie Miller.
Good luck.
And now here he is, Liberal Royalty, live in person. Cenk Uygur. Hi, honey.
Hey, how are you?
Welcome to my house. I was in your house last time.
That's right. Oh, I love this. This is great. Thanks for having me.
You know what? I love the new TV show. I mean, I was saying, and not to be a big suck-up. I mean, I am.
Well,
but,
yeah.
That's
what I'm saying.
Exactly. But I was saying that on it, really and truly, before they even did this with us, I was like, Current is doing actual progressive television. It's people like you. It's people like Keith. That, you know, the corporate structure, you're too good for it. You're too. I'm just telling you.
Well, thank you. I don't know about that. But, no, look, they're not playing. They really give you independence, so you've got that to look forward to. And
the fact that I'm still on the air after an hour proves that point.
No, it's absolutely true, and it's night and day from the corporate structure. It really is. I mean, putting all the kidding aside, in the corporate structure, there is a lot of pressure in a lot of different ways for sponsors, for in the case of politics, et cetera. There's a big corporation up that has all the deals with the government, et cetera. Whereas we don't have any of that worries, so they just let us rip on Current.
You are one of the only humans I think you're the only human I've ever met that has turned down a television show. But because of principle. I mean, you know, that must make Mitt Romney's head just spin. I don't
understand this principle thing.
What does that mean? Can't they just change?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, that's it's true. And look, the thing is, I had a fallback, which was really, really made it easier for me.
Right.
So my fallback was The Young Turks, our online show
that's
doing so well. So it didn't take as much courage since I had that great, great audience to come back to. And I just, look, the reason I got into this is because I want to do an honest show that you know, tells people the reality in the country. If I couldn't do that, then there really isn't any point. Then I could have just stayed a lawyer a long time ago and made a lot more money. So,
and just had people still hate you. Just
right. They hate me plenty now.
For entirely different reasons. But I think, I mean, no, we were saying, you know, when we filled in for Imus on MSNBC, we were told at the time, they're like, there's no way they're going to go with a radio show. It's too risky. You know, and so that's what I'm saying. It's just, I think Current is really doing something truly progressive, you know, because you go, how is Joe Scarborough progressive? I don't understand 3 hours of no offense to him, but, you know.
Yeah, no offense to him. And no, he's not, of course he's not progressive. He's not, you know, what drives me crazy is when they describe Joe as some sort of, you know, mainstream or something. No, he's a conservative guy. And I don't think he doesn't hide that. He's right wing.
Right.
So, you know, MSNBC has some great shows.
Yes.
You know, I don't want to beat around the bush on that. At the same time, their morning is completely and utterly conservative. I would say in some ways more conservative than Fox News.
Yeah.
Because they take these right-wing ideas and they try to mainstream them as if that they're normal and that's what everybody should think. And then daytime, a lot of lovely people in daytime and MSNBC, but it's just straight news.
Yeah.
You know, bless their hearts.
We have to hand it to the Current for the courage to hire somebody completely inappropriate in every way for morning television. And the fact that this is the longest we've ever been on TV. This is, we're only almost an hour and 15 minutes now. I don't know. Somewhere I hear Al Gore sighing.
Stephanie, I didn't really think this isn't going to work out.
I'm expecting.
I made a terrible mistake.
I'm expecting that call at any moment.
Yeah.
So what...
I think Timper wants to put a warning label on your show.
All right. What have you... I don't know if sometimes I'm still surprised that I can be surprised at the right wing. Were you surprised at some of these reactions to the president's comments on Trayvon Martin? I mean,
yes and no. So I thought they'd leave it alone because it sounds like it would be such a losing strategy for them to go in that direction. On the other hand, I know that they can't help themselves, especially Newt Gingrich.
Right.
So, you know, there isn't anything that Newt Gingrich hasn't called, you know, reprehensible, historically terrible. Like, he loves throwing the word historical around. Oh,
because he's a historian.
Sure. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
He's a mortgage historian, if you know.
Yeah, and he's an amateur paleontologist, so he tells me. So, so when he went in that direction and went and took the extra step of saying, hey, you know what, does this mean the president wouldn't care as much if it was a white boy that was killed? I was like, whoa, that's what the president meant.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure he'll say that today. Yeah. What I meant to say was it wouldn't matter if a white kid was shot. That's what I wanted to say.
No, so but that's why I always say we have to go super hard against the Republicans. You know, today there's a article in Politico about how the Democrats might get aggressive on gas prices, to which I say, of course, you should always get aggressive, because these guys come at you a million miles per hour, no matter what you say. You say the most benign thing about, oh, my God, my kid might have looked like Trayvon Martin. I feel terrible for this kid dying. And they're like, no, reprehensible, historically dangerous, et cetera, et cetera. So just come right back at him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Newt Gingrich, I mentioned this earlier, but sometimes you have to like... Really? Did he say that? He told a Louisiana audience that he understands why some Americans might think the president is a Muslim. He complaining that Obama's policies are too sensitive to people that are not Christians or Jews. He asked, why does the president behave the way that people would think he's a Muslim? You have to ask, why would they believe that? It's not because they're stupid. It's because they watch the kind of things I just described to you. He didn't explain what does behaving like a Muslim mean. Stop acting all Muslim-y, Mr. President.
Well, it sounded like he was saying, I can understand why you think he's a Muslim, because I just insinuated that he's a Muslim. And if you watch the things on television, you would accidentally think he's a Muslim.
That praying towards Mecca in the Oval Office every day, that's kind of a giveaway.
I take the president of his word if he says he doesn't do that.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, maybe the president prays to Mecca in the Oval Office. I mean,
there is a rug in there.
It's funny you mentioned the rug. I was just thinking, you know, I'm surprised they haven't come up with a rug conspiracy theory yet.
Right.
Why did they change the rug?
It's a prayer rug.
Why did he replace George Bush's sunny, optimistic rug with a Muslim prayer rug?
Optimistic. I like ruggy. It's right.
George Bush could not stop talking about that rug. Do you know what I'm saying?
Just if I wet myself, no one will know.
All right. Jake, thank you for joining us in the midst of a Santorum surge. I know it's a hazard. It's a biohazard to go outside during a Santorum surge. Of course,
what's worse is that he's surging from behind.
Yes. I knew
we're dragging him down with us.
Once you get in the fort, it's all downhill. All the listeners want to play along. Who's this? Listener Gain? Who am I saying that right? Gene. Listener Gene has yet another frothy Santorum song for us as we celebrate his latest surge. Ew. Okay, here we go.
Hey, kids, gather round. Frothy Santorum hated fairies, so they say. You can't go to bed and you can't be wed if you choose to be a gay. Frothy Santorum says that birth control is wrong, and you're out of luck if you get knocked up. Go to hell where you belong. We all know his position, missionary, nothing more. And the Spanish Inquisition had some good ideas for sure. Frothy Santorum cutting taxes on the rich, tossing healthcare, education, regulations in the ditch. Oh, Frothy Santorum knows the hour is growing late, and if Satan wins anyone but him, it'll break up church and state. He'll deal with global climate change by claiming it's a hoax, and healthcare is reserved for just the very richest folks. Frothy Santorum.
All right.
I didn't realize there were 17 verses to that song.
Wow. Thank you, Gene.
That was really good, actually.
Everybody got in their home studios this weekend. What with the big TV video?
Yes, they did. They sent us everything.
You know, Santorum actually has his own song. Did you know that? That's what I think put him over the top in Louisiana. He is the Christian twins. Who are they? What's their name? First Love, something. The Camille and Haley Harris?
Yep. Mm-hmm. The ones that were amazed that he didn't have an abortion for his last kid.
That's not Prussian Blue?
No.
They're close to Prussian Blue, though.
No. Let's hear a little.
Game on. Join the fight.
Yeah.
Oh. We finally got a man who will stand for what is right. Game on. Victory's in sight.
Yikes.
We've got a man who understands that God gave the Bill of Rights.
That the president isn't white.
Maybe the first time that we have Ronald Reagan.
Oh,
all right, that's the worst rhyme ever. Gong.
Dong, you're out. Reagan reference.
First. Chuck, what's his face?
Yes.
Chuck Norris?
No.
Oh.
Chuck Norris.
Gong Show.
What was that song? Was that Gay On? I was just trying to make it out.
I love the story in the LA Times that mentions this, the song.
Mm-hmm.
They said Santorum doesn't have the money to help him make his name a household name. A lot of supporters still mispronounce it Sanatorium.
Well.
But now he has a song.
Uh-huh.
He has Game On. Okay, and good for him.
Game On.
Whew, all right.
Game
Not Chuck
on.
Norris. We weren't implying that they should be
Chuck
kicked
Barris.
In the head. Yes, Gong Show.
Barris.
They shouldn't be kicked in the head for singing that song as bad as it is.
Although if Chuck Barris was in the CIA, he may have had action genes so he could kick people in the head. So right. we don't know.
All right. 18 minutes after the hour. Cenk is here all hour.
That's
with
right.
Us.
Thank you so much for
it's
coming
like
down
here. It's
like
a hostage crisis. I'm sure it's against his will, but we don't care.
We're getting janky with it.
We're getting janky with it this hour. 19 minutes after the hour, we continue to get janky with it on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. There you go. There's your light. Cenk Uygur from Young Turks is here. The fabulous Young Turks show on Current TV joins us in studio. And they said, can he move a little over to the right? Not politically. There you go. Now you're perfect. Now you're perfect. They're finding new things out because they just put in our little robotic cameras that apparently were all blocking everybody's shot or each other's shots.
With the mic booms, So,
yeah.
We're going to work on that.
We're just a little radio show.
It wasn't an issue when we were just a radio show. I can't hear you. There's a mic boom. Oh, how would I know that?
We need to see the Bob Dole face. We need to see you pick up the pen.
Got to have the pen. Bob Dole. Do the face and the pen.
Can you get rid of the microphones? They get in the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now there's a point because Jim, before he used to, I was like, why do you have to do the face? It's radio. No one can see you.
You know, I went as Bob Dole one Halloween.
Really?
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
The whole thing, the pen in the hand and everything.
Yeah. Bob Dole thinks Bob Dole ought to stop referring to Bob Dole in the third person. Makes Bob Dole sound like a fruitcake.
That's scary. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. LJ in Washington State, you're on with Cenk. Hey, LJ.
Yeah. Yeah, where I'm up here, where we have both open carry and concealed weapons, a lot of people up here are more prone to the open carry and wander around, like at night, like this situation. You got wildlife, for one. Two, the kid is a kid, a juvenile. He should have simply stated, I'm visiting my father, I'm in such and such department. The father is responsible for everything this kid does or does not do. I'm pretty sure if the kid had came out...
Wait, it's his fault he got shot because he didn't say the right thing?
No.
And how do we know he didn't say that?
He didn't identify himself.
How do you know he didn't?
On the stand your ground law, it is anywhere on your property.
No, no. Stand your ground refers to anywhere, not just on your property.
Anywhere in the state of Florida.
Anywhere on your property.
No, it does not. You are wrong, sir.
No,
It's anywhere on the property.
Nope.
So even
not
if it's a common property like this.
No. All right. You're disqualified. Somebody, a right-wing caller, tried that last week.
Yeah.
This is what they do. They call and deliberately try to spread misinformation.
Right.
That always, it's only
and
if someone comes on your property. No.
We have tapes of Zimmerman talking to the cops on the phone. We don't know anything that Trayvon said or did.
Right.
Yeah. You know, we had...
apart from being unarmed.
We had the president of the Gun Owners of America, Larry Pratt, on the Young Turks on Friday and got into a nice shouting match with him.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
And his argument was that he claims, according to a witness in Orlando, that Trayvon Martin at some point got the upper hand, and then so hence Zimmerman had the right to shoot him, right?
Oh, I see.
And that once Trayvon got the upper hand in an altercation, he had the duty to retreat. I said, so wait, let me get this right. The guy with a gun...
feels threatened.
Can stand his ground.
Right.
But the guy without the gun must retreat, cannot stand his ground.
Yeah.
Right? That makes no sense whatsoever.
I mean,
they're looking for an excuse to justify shooting the kid.
He was either defending himself or running away too fast.
And you can't even believe the stupidity of Geraldo Rivera, that it's the hoodie's fault. What?
So now you see online that they've got pictures of Geraldo with hoodies.
Right. There's a whole Tumblr blog devoted to pictures of Geraldo in hoodies.
Yeah, and by the way, Fox News, right after that, Fox News stopped selling hoodies online.
That's right, in their online store. They pulled their hoodies out.
Yeah,
but I mean, you know, when he tries to bring his son into it, I tell him, stop, you know, wearing that. And it's like, are you kidding me? Really? You're going to make an article of clothing. I mean, it literally is like the you know, in the rape cases when they used to go, well, you know, she was wearing a short skirt.
Coming.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can't believe you heard it. Let's go to Mark in Pennsylvania. You're on with Cenk. Hey, Mark.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to Current TV. You
Thank
and your
you.
Adorable crew.
Thank you. They are adorable.
Yes, they are. Thing that I haven't heard anybody talk about or ask about is George Zimmerman. Has he had any training at all whatsoever before he did this?
Being a vigilante doofus, I guess he has.
Well, gun training. He puts himself in the dark in a tense situation of his own making.
Right.
But we have no idea if he's had any training for this. He's not a law enforcement official.
Right, which is why...
He's had training not to shoot somebody.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just because he's afraid.
That's right. That's why you shouldn't be a vigilante doofus. That's why the 911 operator said, we don't need you to do that, sir. Like,
stop.
You know, he tried to be a cop, and he didn't make it.
How shocking.
Right.
How shocking.
So that gives you a sense that he did not get the proper training because they're like, this guy is just not up to it.
Why do I sense he guarded an Orange Julius at some point? He was a mall guard of some sort. Stephanie Miller Show, first of all, wishes to apologize to all... Orange Julius cops. We didn't mean to impugn all of
them. Do
they
have cops there?
All right, 29 minutes after the hour. Back with more with Cenk Uygur of Young Turks on Current TV on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't watch TV.
Yeah, but you are aware that there's an invention called television, and on this invention they show...
Stephanie Miller.
Right.
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Mark Joyce and Atticus, the English Springer Spaniel from Bethany College in West Virginia. Congratulations, Steph and the Mooks, first day on Current TV.
Yay!
Oh, yay!
And joined by Superstar of Current TV, Cenk Uygur of the Young Turks, and his terrific new show on Current TV. All right, so time enough to talk about Dick Cheney's new heart?
He had one to begin with?
Hey!
All right, see?
Okay, there's your clip, Newsbusters.
There you go, Newsbusters.
I'm not the first to mention
that. All right. Well, when the headline says Dick Cheney finally gets a heart, I'm just saying. People
he finally had a heart.
And filling in their own.
By the way, go bleep yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Already, though, actually, controversy, Cenk, over whether he was too old, that he's 71 and, you know.
It turns out that sometimes the rich and powerful in this country get an extra break.
What?
You don't say.
Listen.
The deuce you say.
It's really weird, I know. It's a foreign
thought.
Don't
be doing your investigative journalism here. I don't know. Yeah, you tweeted about it. it's government health care. But, I mean, it's a...
You know, people have been tweeting, to our account saying, Can you imagine now that they want to do like an exemption? You know how your driver's license says, you know, organ donor, et cetera. They want to say organ donor asterisk, except not to Dick Cheney.
I'm just saying, we don't know. I'm just saying with his approval rating, some family somewhere, it's like we gave a heart. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. You're welcome, Newsbusters.
Yep. There you go.
All right. But you did make the point about health care, as did David Plouffe on Meet the Press yesterday. He said Mitt Romney is the godfather of our health care plan. Here is what is etched in stone. See, it's more etch-a-sketch humor. Mitt Romney will cut taxes for people like him, huge tax cuts. I think that's somehow a way to help the country. He'll add more to the deficit. He'll try to outlaw abortion in this country. He doesn't believe in a clean energy future. Those things are etched in stone. They're not going to be erased. I don't know how he runs away from Romney care. Do you, in the general?
Well, look, I don't think that it's even going to be – maybe I have a unique opinion on this. I don't even think it's going to be an issue in the general. First of all, I'm of the opinion that President Obama is not quite as tough a campaigner as a lot of people think. So I think the Republicans are going to hit Mitt Romney a lot harder than the Democrats ever would. I could be wrong about that. I hope I'm wrong about that.
It may not be necessary by the time it gets to us. I don't know.
Right. And second of all, I don't see how it's an issue in the general because they're going to have an agreement fest. You know, Romney's going to pretend he's against Obamacare, and Obama's going to say it's identical to my plan. And so I don't see that as an issue. I'm just surprised he's, you know, gotten this far in the primaries with a plan that was nearly identical to President Obama's. Another thing that they're not hitting him on is, you know, he talks about how he's uniquely qualified to create jobs. He was 47th out of 50 states in job creation when he was the governor of Massachusetts.
He's uniquely qualified to outsource jobs, as he did at Bain Capital.
Yeah, no, every sentence would have begun if I was a candidate against him with, well, as number 47 says, you know, and I would have done an ad with a Celtics jersey with the number 47 on it, and you know, and which in the general election they should absolutely positively do.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's terrible at job creation.
Yeah, yeah,
except
no,
in China and India.
No, he'll get huge majorities in China. Now, we are, as you know, in the midst of another Santorum surge. You are man enough to brave that with us this morning. Frothy, yesterday.
We have won our 11th state in this primary fight, and I want to thank you for doing that.
So, I mean, I don't know. Rick Santorum is saying the media is getting it wrong. This is not over yet. I mean, is there still this chance for a brokered convention?
I think so. So now, realistically, for Santorum to get enough delegates to win outright before the convention, he'd have to win about 75% of the remaining delegates, which is not possible. That's very unrealistic. But is it possible that he would get enough delegates, along with Gingrich and Ron Paul, that Romney would not be able to do it on his own, and hence we would have a contested convention? Yeah, of course that's possible, you know, because they keep splitting the states back and forth, back and forth. You know, you think he's not going to win down in Alabama, I'm sorry, in Kentucky and Arkansas, and who knows what happens in Texas. So then when you go to a contested convention, it's possible that you can do what Gingrich was suggesting, you know, a little while ago. He goes, well, you know, you put my delegates along with Santorum's delegates, and next thing you know, it was nice knowing you, Mitt.
And the good news for comedy is that if there is a broker convention, Sarah Palin stands ready to serve. Guys and gals.
Yo.
So to your betcha.
Your betcha.
In addition, supplementally.
Rick Santorum in Louisiana.
If you're looking for someone who can match up and defeat Barack Obama in this election, someone who can take it to the president, make him the issue in this campaign, stand up for the principles that made this country great. The people of Louisiana sent a loud and clear message. This race is long and far from over.
If only Santorum had a theme song of some kind.
The frothy Santorum song, yeah. I mean, I know. I mean, even my sister was saying this to me. She's like, well, yeah, at least he believes something. I mean, it's horrible, but at least.
There is that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, as opposed to Mitt Romney, who believes he will change his mind in the next second or so.
Yeah, I mean, can you even believe that Etch-a-Sketch moment brought to us by our own sexy liberal John Fugelsang, who asked the question? I mean, you just go, oh, he did not just say that.
You know, first of all, I was really proud that it was John who had asked that question. And then Joe Klein wrote a good article in Time magazine about how you know, as a consultant, Romney goes to every new project and says, okay, what do we need to do here? And fresh slate, right?
Right.
So in every election, he's like, okay, what do I need to do? I need to be more liberal than Ted Kennedy? Great, I'm more liberal than Ted Kennedy.
Done.
Okay, yeah. Easy, yes. No problem, okay? What do I need to do? More conservative than Rick Santorum? Done. No problem, right? And so that's really...
That's the good point. How can you be both more liberal than Ted Kennedy and more conservative than Rick Santorum? Really, nicely played, yeah. Sir. Nicely played. Very consistent.
Can I just say something?
Yes.
Enlightened Girl in the chat room says, Cenk looks like he has a you guys are nuts kind of look on his face.
All right, let me try that. No, really?
The camera doesn't lie. Normally, people just couldn't see the looks of disgust on our guests' faces. Now it's hard to... He's just like, what have I got myself into? Is this in my contract?
Yeah. No. Believe me, we're pretty nuts at the Young Turks.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Angie in Virginia, you're on with Cenk. Hey, Angie.
Hey, morning.
Good morning.
Hi, I wanted to comment on the people who are coming out in support of George Zimmerman, his friends and everybody.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I find really disturbing about that, these people are not showing any human emotion, empathy, remorse, anything for what he did, even if he felt justified for whatever reason is in his mind. But they
But Angie, that's exactly the problem with this law. You don't get to shoot someone because you have some thought in your mind that they might be threatening to you.
I felt pinky. Therefore,
yeah.
I have to shoot him.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. Just show, at least come out and say, I'm sorry, because you know now, he has to know now who the kid was that he shot.
Yeah.
He doesn't feel bad even in the least bit.
Yeah, well, no, exactly. That is odd when you think about it. There's been not, he said nothing.
You know, one of his friends came out and said, oh, you know, he's been crying for days and he feels terrible and stuff. Now, look, I don't know the veracity of that, but. You know what would have showed some degree of remorse is if he called the parents and said, my God, I'm so sorry.
Right.
Right.
I mean,
even if he thought he was justified.
Right.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. It's like what that's where I felt like the president hit the perfect like human chord, the parental chord where all these other people, everybody in the gun lobby, they rush right to defend the gun law. Everybody, yeah. You know, on the right rushes to say, oh, it's not a racial thing. I mean, you know, and it just, it becomes, we just had this caller say, well, he's Hispanic. It's like,
oh, well, that's
Hispanic
okay,
people can't be racist.
You can't be racist.
Yeah, what?
If you're not from Sweden.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But this, of course, he wouldn't apologize to the parents because he thinks they're also effing, you know.
Well, no, I'm sure it's legal, right? Because he's thinking, oh, I don't want to admit any fault here. But it's just, you're right. Where has the human part of this whole thing gone? Sue in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Sue.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just want to say I'm a proud Jewish mom here in Florida that supports the president. And it wasn't until this morning that I could actually speak about the Trayvon case. My heart is broken. Now that the Mr. Zimmerman's attorney came out and said this is not stand your ground, it's self-defense, the man should be arrested, he should be bonded out and arraigned and go to trial. And all I know is that I went out on the street corner. One minute I registered 5 new Democrats. We are motivated in Florida. We're going to get this law overturned.
No, oh, good for you. Yeah, good for you. You know, even Rick Scott has said we should look at this law. I mean, yeah. That's, to me, I just think...
Why did it take him so long, though, until his state was shamed into all of this?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know how it got passed, and Paul Krugman actually has a very good article, and it was great to see it in the New York Times this morning. We've been talking about it for a long time. ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, wrote this law, and then they actually put it in over 20 states. They're partly funded by the NRA, the Koch brothers, all the usual suspects.
Yep.
And they secretly write so many of our local laws, and people aren't even aware of this group. And the reason they do it is for profit, of course. And so the NRA these days doesn't even represent gun owners. They represent gun manufacturers.
Right.
So the more guns there are out there, the happier they are, the happier this group ALEC is. And so they're just putting that out there more and more. And by the way, that same group also represents for-profit prisons.
Yeah.
So the more people that have guns, great. The more people that go to prison, great. And so they just keep making more and more money.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys, of course, fund all the Republicans in Florida. Mm-hmm. They've given several millions of dollars to the Republican legislators in Florida. And that answers your question of why the Republicans were so, you know, reluctant to mess with this law.
You make me, like most men, so sad and happy at the same time. But you're right. I mean, it does make you feel, are we ever going to make progress on any issue in this country? And the answer is no. I mean, you look at, you know, Gabrielle Giffords shooting. Same thing. Everybody reflexively, it's not a gun law problem. It's not a this problem. It's not a hate speech problem. I mean, if you don't look at all of the elements that go into something, I mean, again.
Stuff just happens.
Yeah. I reacted in a human way to that one because my dad was a congressman. And I can only imagine my mother coming home and saying, your dad's been shot in the face. You know, and I just think, like, we've gotten so partisan that there isn't any sort of human, and that's what I thought the president tried to reach. It was just a human parental cord. With
yeah,
this
and they twisted that into a
political thing.
Yeah. You know, people are remarkably restrained because if that happened to someone I loved, I'd say no. We have to do something about gun laws in this country. We have to. I mean, I'd lose my mind over it.
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, the Democrats are running scared from the Republicans on the gun issue because of a couple of elections a while back, and so they're never going to address the issue, and it sucks.
Yeah. All right. 46 minutes after the hour. He's, you know, here to harsh our buzz and yet up the IQ. And it's just, you know what?
Wait.
46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human Prozac. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 51 minutes after the hour. I'm glad Jim is so nervous and he's taking the first day so seriously.
Yeah.
In that he's still in the bathroom and not back in time. Thank God Cenk is here from the Young Turks.
See,
and,
that's the
Current
thing.
TV.
That's the thing. In radio, nobody would have noticed.
Yeah,
it could have been like he was here.
Exactly. Yeah. And now it's just a big, empty,
gaping hole.
Big, empty chair.
Yeah.
Barroom doors, swinging, tumbleweeds. Yeah, all right. He'll be back in a moment. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We've been talking about the GOP primary. Rick Santorum obviously won Louisiana.
He did a very clear and crisp statement, and that is that you don't believe, as the pundits have said, that this race is over. You didn't get the memo. We're still here. We're still fighting.
Okay. What is gonna? What? So, what's your? You know, your are either of them gonna get out? Gingrich or? Have you even forgotten Ron Paul's even in it? I have. I almost just forgot.
Ron who?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think Ron Paul and Gingrich are staying in at this point for some sort of VP angle. Gingrich has got that. Hey, you know, I could be Santorum's VP if I've got enough delegates, and we could overtake Romney.
Right.
And then Ron Paul, the old conspiracy theory on him is that he's collecting enough delegates that he could put Mitt Romney over the top and that he would get his son, Rand Paul, on the ticket.
Oh, he does not have presidential hair. I'm sorry. That is some sort of tribble on his head, and that's not going to...
And what's with the turtlenecks? Who wears turtlenecks in politics anymore? Seriously.
There's no turtlenecks in politics?
Turtlenecks and sweater vests? What? Can't Marcus Bachmann style this remaining group? He's not doing anything
anymore.
You've
got to be kidding me.
Oh, my God, it's awful. But, you know, what do you? Santorum just broke the golden rule, didn't he? He said, Obama would be better than Romney.
Oops.
Yeah, and he's been trying to walk that back for the last couple of days. He said, oh, no, I meant in certain respects. I didn't mean in every respect.
This is exciting news. I don't know if you heard this. Paul Ryan cracked open the possibility of running as vice president. He said he would have to consider it. Yes, Eddie Munster, based on his second awful budget that
isn't
everybody
that great,
hates.
Eddie?
That nobody's paying attention to.
Right.
Wow.
Based on his awful... what does Charlie Pierce call zombie-eyed granny starver, Paul Ryan?
Yeah. You know, the thing that drives me crazy about Paul Ryan is how seriously Washington takes him. They're like, what a bold budget. I'm like, yeah, it's bold in that it creates a larger deficit.
Yes.
So I thought the Republicans cared about closing the deficit. No, why? Because he gave $4 trillion in tax cuts to the rich.
Yeah. See, this is what bothers us about the mainstream media, is you're right. They have these little crushes, like Chris Christie, and it's he's bold and refreshing, and it's just, but yes, well, they're awful ideas, but okay. I mean, this is what Newt Gingrich is running on, big ideas. And we were
big,
saying...
stupid ideas.
Right. We've been saying most really bad ideas are big. Well, think of the biggest mistakes you've made in your life. They
invading
were big,
Poland. There was a big idea.
There was a bold idea. That was big.
Now, and the thing is, they keep calling it an attempt to balance the budget. But it adds trillions to the deficit.
Right.
So
oh,
stop
that.
Calling it that. I mean, see, the mainstream media has gotten to the point where they're so obsessed with neutrality that they are neutral to the facts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if the Republicans say this balances the budget and the Democrats say it doesn't, they say, well, you know, it's
well,
somewhere
right.
in the middle.
And
it's not in the middle. Look at the facts.
Right. Yeah. And both sides are not worth considering. And the other side's ideas are awful.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Chris Christie, just because he says it in that Sopranos voice, this is what I say. We put the old people in a pile and we light them on fire. Boom! I said it. And
it's bold.
Didn't vaporize into the company. And then they have to go, oh, well, that is a bold idea.
One more.
It's refreshing.
One more lie about Chris Christie that's put out there is that, oh, you know, he's such a populist and a regular guy because he speaks like he's from New Jersey, you know, and I'm from New Jersey.
Yeah.
But he's not a regular guy. His main supporters are hedge fund managers in New York, Paul Singer, et cetera. We know where his money comes from, and his money comes from Wall Street.
Yeah.
And so he's the least regular guy there is. He's just he's doing the same exact drill that every Republican does. How can I find a clever way to get all my rich friends more tax cuts?
That being said, he was really good as Bobby on The Sopranos. I did enjoy him. That cannoli eating scene was
bad, you know.
Okay. Val in Philadelphia, you're on with Jake. Hello, Val.
Hi, Steph.
Hi, go ahead.
Congratulations on the new show.
Thank you.
I would just like to say about Trayvon Martin, anytime you hear those 911 calls of that man-child screaming help, how can you in any way say it's self-defense? I mean, would it be scary if all the black people in Florida got guns and started saying, I'm standing my ground?
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is, and by the way, Jake, this was one of those things where when they passed this law, almost every Democrat said this is going to lead to racially motivated killings. And they're like, oh, you're crazy. You're all French and gay. You know, I mean, and this is what happens. I mean, who couldn't have seen this coming?
Yeah, well, we quoted a Reuters article from 2005 that said this will lead to racially motivated attacks.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. But the caller's on to something. The minute that all black folks in Florida have guns, all of a sudden they're going to reconsider this law.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay, because, hey, listen, I chased down a guy like Zimmerman did, and I had a gun, and the guy looked at me kind of funny, so I shot him in the head. Hey, will you look at that? I stood my ground. Now, two can play at that game, and then that's why it's so dangerous. And that's why, you know, if it leads to more vigilante action, because there's no justice in this case or in other cases, it's a dangerous road to go down.
Well, the new Black Panthers are already heading that direction.
Hey, Kevin in Santa Fe, you're on with Jank. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, I took my truck out for a drive on the inner tubes this morning, and I was looking up this address, because all George Zimmerman says is, there's a break-in in my neighborhood. But he lives 6 inches away, and a lake in a whole other neighborhood. He doesn't live inside of this gated community. The man is a stalker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, exactly. That's a good word for it. He's not even a, you know, vigilante watchman or whatever. He's a stalker. I mean,
You know, he called the 911 49 times in the last year, and mostly to report blackmails.
Yeah. There you go, injecting race into it again, Cenk.
Yeah.
Just like the president.
And by the way, can I just say, I want to make it absolutely clear, it's definitely about race. I said it from day one. We were one of the first shows to cover it all the way back in March 8th. And if it was a black guy who had shot a white guy, there's no way in the world the black guy wouldn't have been arrested on the spot. Mm-hmm. They would have checked his record. They would have checked the toxicology reports, et cetera, instead of vice versa. There's no way.
Cenk from the Young Turks, you are delightful. What time can we see you on Current TV?
7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific.
We will watch you too. We'll be watching tonight. Thank you, honey.
All right. Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks, Cenk.
Right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Day one on Current TV.
Stephanie, this is Al Gore.
Hi, Al.
I really did not appreciate seeing your popo on the TV. Tipper, I think it's going to put a warning label on your show.
I was trying to sex it up a little bit.
I was
straddling my talking liberally side
yeah.
a moment ago. Well, the listeners have been asking for an ass cam for quite some time.
There
so
you go.
Just give me a little something. Eric in Ohio writes, hey, Steph, nice to see you on Current TV, but you have to learn something about self-promotion and marketing.
Oh.
In Madonna's video for Girls Gone Wild, the men are naked. The point is the mooks are fully clothed. Yeah, I think that's a good point. Shirtless, something.
No, not me.
No,
not me.
That fat kid is still inside of me. I won't take my shirt off.
40 pounds I might have.
Yeah,
I love your husky boy stories. All right. I got a love letter from Melissa in North Carolina. This is the sort of devotion we expect now that we're on the Current TV staff. My three dogs and I moved from Chicago, WCPT, Great Clear Signal, to North Carolina 2 years ago. Lived too far outside of Asheville to get a good signal from 880 to Revolution. Some mornings I drive due south just to get my stuff in the mooks fix. But sometimes the signal is crowded out by 87 conservative stations carrying Rush.
Yeah.
So I gave up lunch and subscribed to Sirius XM radio to get you. Then Sirius XM left channel changed the morning lineup, so instead of the first hour of your show on the East Coast, I get something else. It's been very frustrating. Then, hallelujah, our rural internet finally connected us to civilization.
What?
Now I could listen live and Ustream you all 3 hours on my computer. Now you're leaving the Ustream. And going current, so now I start foraging in the woods for food and get a little television with DirecTV Channel 358 and watch live, DVR when necessary. I'm losing weight, not to worry. You dear stuff are so worth it. Thank you. That's
wow.
the sort of stick-to-itiveness I expect from our... I'm so elusive. Keeps them wanting more.
You're like the chupacabra.
Yes,
the
thank you.
Chupacabra.
And if you don't know where to find Current or if you want to ask your cable company to get Current,
yes.
Go to current.com and they'll tell you how to do all that there.
Type in your zip code, it'll tell you where it is. And if you don't have it, call now in a panic. Call as many times as Zimmerman called 911. Keep calling and say, I want Current. I want it now.
And if you want Current right now and your cable company doesn't have it, remember, DirecTV and Dish both carry it.
There you go. All right. Good corporate suck-ups we already are.
I know, right?
Day one. All right. Monday, and that means Eric Bollard time. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Good morning.
You've always been ready for your close-up, so I'm not concerned about you. You will be chagrined to know that I spent an hour on the phone with Sean Hannity yesterday.
Oh, my gosh. Why?
I invited him and Rush on the show this week to talk about this whole boycott, what you guys are doing, et cetera, et cetera. Because, as you know, you and I have talked about it on the air, and you may have seen me quoted on Friday, but Tom Hartman said, you know, some of the same things. It makes us all a little nervous, Eric, because, you know, once, like, advertisers start to go, oh, you know, talk radio in general is too controversial, then we're all screwed, basically.
Right.
So
here's my thing. Folks have been advertising on talk radio for a long time, and they understand the parameters, and they understand people say controversial things, and that's one of the reasons they're on it.
Right.
And I think advertisers give talk radio incredible wide playing field. And they realize, you know, sometimes people are going to call up and say, oh, you shouldn't advertise on that show, or he was so offensive. 95-97% of the time they say, thank you for your concerns, we're going to keep advertising.
Right.
This whole Rush Limbaugh thing, we're looking at the 3%. I mean, his comments and his smear campaign was so far over the line.
I agree.
That the corporate America, you know, said, you know what, we think you're right. And Limbaugh lost another advertiser just today. So I think, again, I think advertisers know what they're getting into when they buy talk radio. They know it's going to be controversial. They know it's going to be partisan. And they get it. But every once in a while, they see something, they hear something, they say, we cannot be associated with that.
I think
this is one of the
times. I think Dr. Laura crossed that line. And she took herself off the radio, nobody, you know, she was also screaming about the First Amendment rights. And nobody took away her First Amendment rights. She left her own multimillion dollar radio show. But, you know, Eric, all I'm saying is I'm guessing that Newsbuster has already sent a clip of something from this morning's show.
This morning's Stephanie Miller
Show. My advertisers.
Right. Let them send it around. And Toyota will look at it and they'll they'll say, oh, that's interesting, goodbye. And, you know, and GM will look at it, and they'll all look at it. Unless you say something insanely stupid for three days and you attack a private citizen in a creepy, obsessive, sexual way, I think you're okay.
Well,
I think there's a common sense that applies. And folks on the right have a problem with it.
Right. And as you know, I mean, it also gets, I mean, I'm talking to you from a Clear Channel studio. My flagship affiliate is KTLK here in Los Angeles. So I know your piece was Clear Channel can't make up its mind about free speech. But you talk about
a little trouble with that.
A premier spokesman said it's a direct attack on America's guaranteed First Amendment right to free speech. I do disagree with that. I don't think anyone's attacking Russia's First Amendment.
No, and that was sort of the week three spin. He's being censored, he's under attack, Media Matters are fascist and they're trying to shut everyone up. None of that is true. The marketplace is working, the marketplace is talking and deciding about the Rush Limbaugh show. And if anyone's trying to shut people up, it's Rush Limbaugh, who tried to intimidate Sandra Fluke into not coming forward and tried to intimidate other women who want to talk about health care and Trump and contraception in a public and fair way.
And Eric, you make in your great column this week, make a point you and I have talked about before and that I also think is part of this. And I would say to Sean Hannity, if he's man enough to come on, Sean. But I think that, I also think that he's a good friend of Rush Limbaugh's. You talked about all his right wing enablers. I want to know, why didn't you say that was wrong?
Exactly.
Rush, I love you. You're a great broadcaster. This was too far. This was too much.
You can count on one hand the number of prominent conservatives who have done that. It seems so obvious. It seems so logical. Yet, take that 10 seconds, type that two sentence or take 90 seconds on your show and say, you know what, Rush, this was wrong. This was over the line. And now I'm going to, and now I'm basically going to defend you for the next 10 days. They couldn't even do that. They couldn't even make that. Very common sense conclusion that he went insanely over the
line. As you point out, Eric, and piled on. With the name calling against her.
Yeah, again, we've talked about this before. Rush claims he made, a two-word mistake. He shouldn't have used those two words. Rush made a mistake for 3 days and, almost 9 hours. And then on that Saturday, he woke up and decided, oh, my gosh, I chose the wrong words. This was, again, and this goes back to why we're seeing this effect and why this is really the 3% example when advertisers are heading for the doors. It was relentless. It was personal. Yep. It was disgusting. And
against,
a
private citizen, all this stuff. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, or maybe we should rename it Proving Our Point. Bill O'Reilly, here we go, on cue.
The far left demanding censorship. That is the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. It used to be that liberals are the most ardent advocates of free speech. The ACLU is in business to promote speech.
They still are.
Or so they say. But now the far left is a primary source of censorship in America. Simply put, they do not want to hear opposing points of view. There's something very fascist about all this. Shut down your opposition. Don't let them speak. Punish people who support them. In every totalitarian state in the world, that is tactic number one. Silence the opposition.
First of all, defend your fascist self, Eric Bollard.
Damn it. I guess this take is that if you urge advertisers to leave or if you sort of promote activism in terms of a boycott, that you're a fascist. This, of course, is Bill O'Reilly, who urged a boycott of the entire country of France and went after Pepsi when it was sponsoring Ludacris. Remember the rapper? That went on forever and ever. Bill O'Reilly has tried to get more people to stop buying more products than most people on TV. And, either he doesn't understand what censorship is, but I think he does, or he's just playing stupid and he does it on a nightly basis. The whole conservative press has taken up this, this mantle of censorship. Last time I checked, Media Matters did not have executive privileges in the federal government. We can't censor anyone. Only the government can censor anyone.
I think I actually...
And this fascism thing, it just makes people laugh like we just did.
Well, a goose stepper like you would think that, Eric Bollard. All right, Kimberly Guilfoyle, Fox News.
He went willingly, eagerly to make comments and attacking anybody on the right that he felt wasn't making appropriate comments towards women. And then
and there was a complete abdication of leadership and just showing respect as a man. He is the president of the United States, not a talk radio show host, not a television journalist. Show us the man that you are. Show us that you are a man of integrity that respects women, that puts women first and not campaign dollars.
What the hell is she talking
about? She's talking about not giving Bill Maher's money back because he made a joke on stage somewhere about Sarah Palin. Yep. I mean, it is amazing, these false analogies, isn't it, Eric?
It's still all about Bill Maher. Bill Maher, who gave money to a PAC, and of course it would be illegal for Barack Obama to order any PAC to send any money back. They're trying to, obfuscate that whole thing. The false analogies and the false comparisons. I mean, that's what they have filled up the last two or three weeks doing, rather than saying, "Rush, we love you. This wasn't
right."
This was stupid.
And by the way,
everyone does it. Everyone does it. You know, people don't. Not everyone does it. And again, this is why it struck a nerve. No one else has ever done this, really.
Well, and this is, by the way, what I said to Sean Hannity. I said, I will defend Rush as a woman and a liberal in terms of that I think boycotts and all that hurt all of us in the radio business. If you admit, for instance, that Glenn Beck, since Clear Channel replaced me with him in San Francisco, his ratings are down 90%. I love capitalism, Sean. Do you? He seemed dumbstruck by that.
Well, he's dumbstruck by a lot.
All right. Eric Bowler remains in the sidecar as we continue Right Wing World. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, sorry about that. The show's gotten a little lowbrow.
What are you talking about? It's like the most hilarious show ever.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour, live from Hollywood. Hopefully we'll get a lot of, big names in here now live that were on the TV.
Well,
Jim's lovely wife Janice actually bought him makeup.
Which I have not used yet.
No.
Actually,
we don't
I still
care.
Have some theatrical makeup left from my theater days of 5 years ago. I haven't done a play in 5 years.
Bill Press's guys are wearing makeup.
Yeah.
You guys don't even
Peter
care
and Dan
enough.
Wear makeup.
You don't care enough to tart it up for me, do you?
No, not at all.
Fine.
Although Kathleen Madigan's going to be here Thursday, she'll wear makeup.
All right. Eric Bowler from Media Matters, speaking of big names, joins us for Right Wing World. All right. This is the one everyone's talking about, Eric. Geraldo Rivera. Okay.
I am urging the parents of black and Latino youngsters particularly to not let their children go out wearing hoodies. I think the hoodie is as much responsible for Trayvon Martin's death as George Zimmerman was.
Not quite.
Wow.
Whoa.
The gun. But I am willing to give him a bit of a pass on this because it seems to be a trend now for kids to go around wearing hoodies when it's 80 degrees outside with the hoods
they
up.
They don't deserve to get shot for it.
I know. That's not what he was saying.
That's the point. Why inject that in that?
It's
funny. I mean, Fox hasn't really seemed to know what to do with the story, particularly in primetime. Very little coverage at all. This is a story that has morphed into a national discussion about, guns and the law and race. And typically, Fox News conservative press, they love this stuff and they jump right in. But this story doesn't fit the right narrative for them because of who the victim was, an unarmed teen and things like that. And so Geraldo was really one of the first times anyone tried to jump in, and the consequences were just disastrous.
Right.
He was ridiculed for days. So it's interesting. Again, they don't really know what to make of the story. I think when Obama became part of the story, it was easy for them. Oh, okay, we're just going to hate Obama, so we'll attack him.
Yeah, there's Obama being all black again, saying things about black people and things. It is amazing that I shouldn't say amazing that Gingrich and Santorum accused the president of politicizing and racializing this.
And so did the rest of the conservative press. If you looked over the weekend, the bad guys in this are Al Sharpton and Barack Obama. I mean, if you read the conservative press over the weekend. That was it. And that's what they're most comfortable doing, attacking those people. But they're still really not sure what to do with this. They love, you know, these gun control laws. They love stand your ground. But how do you really just say this is great? You know, this is a great story for us. If not,
they
don't know
all
what to do with it. And which leads to Geraldo's odd comments.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, Glenn Beck still has a radio show. Oh, well, good.
He's...
You know what? We can just sit back. They're all going to eat each other, Republicans.
I think everybody is learning, don't pick a fight with Matt Drudge.
Definitely have noticed that.
Yeah, don't pick a fight with Matt Drudge. You know, you don't go... What's the old...
You don't spit, you don't tug on Superman's cape.
No, no, no.
You don't spit into the wind.
Yeah, that's it.
And
no,
you don't mess around with Drudge. I think that's the old...
No, it's... You don't go to war with a man who buys ink by the barrel. Matt is burying Rick Santorum.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can sit this primary out in the hammock, I think, Eric.
Yeah, they're killing each other.
That sounds tired.
We can't. I mean, the idea, I mean, it's just sort of funny to hear people talk about Matt Drudge in these, you know, larger-than-life, you know, terms. He's been backing Mitt Romney, obviously. Conservatives are talking about it for months and months. And what's it got Mitt Romney? I mean, he's limping along, you know, across the finish line and, you know, whatever. If they think Matt Drudge is gonna be a player in this election, he's going to have about as big a role in 2012 as he had in 2008, which was almost nothing.
Right. Yep. All right. Rush Limbaugh on the...
Obama could not have stopped this leg of the Keystone Pipeline if he'd wanted to. It was already in place. He's simply there. There's no other way. He's just glomming onto it. It's like trying to be present when the Ten Commandments are written on the burning bush and claiming you wrote them. I wouldn't be surprised if Obama says, I've laid more pipe than any president except Bill Clinton.
Oh, I get it. Was that a joke?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, at least he's learned his lesson.
Well, it's funny. I mean, you know, this is in reference to Obama supporting part of the Keystone Pipeline. And so conservatives have been yelling and screaming that we need this, and then they get it. And what do they do? Rush spends his time attacking the president for doing something that he agrees with.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's doing it wrong.
It's Obama derangement syndrome, you know, personified.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Mike Huckabee, real quick.
The health care law is in the terrible twos. And it's just starting that
time. Starting to act up.
Yeah, starting to really act up.
Tantrums.
And people are realizing that this is a baby that's a real problem child. And it's going to really create problems for individuals, for businesses, and for families, and for the country economically. It can be repealed, but it means that you're going to have to get a majority in the Senate.
And get a Republican president.
And a Republican president.
You need a sweep.
Yeah.
Does this mean that Norquist is going to drown it in a bathtub?
Yeah. It's you got to look back at, you know, at the fear-mongering 2 years ago, Eric.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I guess
that wasn't that great. I mean, they claimed right after the 2010 election, they announced healthcare was done, it was finished, there was no way it could pass, and then 4 months later, they had this massive freakout when it did pass.
Eric,
and they still haven't come to resolution about it.
Right? Absolutely. Out of time, we'll see you next week. Thanks so much. Eric Bollert, Media Matters, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
What? You can't use that kind of language on TV.
What language? What you talking about?
You kind of say on television.
Man, that man.
Oh, dear.
This hour of This Filthy Show is brought to you by Susan E.'s Dark Fantasy Angel Fall, Penryn and the End of Days, Book 1. The End of the World is the Beginning of the Adventure. Available on Amazon.com. For more info, visit www.susanee.com.
All right.
Yay.
Is there a betting pool on the Ustream as to how many times my mom has said, oh, dear, this morning?
We should have put cameras in her house just to get her
reaction.
There you go. I know, right?
Reaction cam.
Current, get on that. Mike in Bloomington, Minnesota.
Oh,
my gosh, Steph, you were right. You actually do have small boobs. You know, I am in my sports bra because I'm on my way to spinning class. Do you mind?
Yeah, you kind of look like Hillary Swank there.
You're in our clubhouse, these paparazzi. Okay, 1-800 Steph 12, the phone number, toll free.
The camera just turned to look at you.
So funny.
All right. Can't you get a better angle? All right. Legend in Detroit, Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Legend.
Yes, Steph, how are you doing this morning?
Good, go ahead.
Just
Very cute. Just want to let you know, and welcome to the current TV.
Thank
you. As far as the Martin case goes, I just want to know how come if the guy was carrying a gun on the job when they told him not to, he wasn't arrested right then.
Right.
I mean, wasn't that kind of a conspiracy right then? The start of one, and also I just want
right.
to say that,
well, exactly. That's not suspicious. First of all, the 911 operator tells him, "Sir, we don't need you to do that," and then the kid ends up shot dead, and there's not any investigation of that. I mean, the whole thing is
they tested the dead body for drugs and alcohol, but
yeah.
not this guy Zimmerman.
Yeah, Melissa in Oklahoma on the Trayvon case as well. Hey, Melissa.
Hi. Thanks for being the glass half full, and not half empty.
Yep. We're your happy clappy liberal show. Thank you.
I was really upset with what happened after Zimmerman was supposedly protected. A newscast tried to come out and find out some facts, and one of his friends was protecting him, pulled out a gun on the newscast and the crew. And,
wow.
Man, it's just ridiculous. This is 2012.
Yeah.
Are we back in poverty years and, you know, 1930s, 1920s? It's getting
yeah,
ridiculous.
Exactly. We keep regressing a decade every year.
Yeah.
Jeff in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hey, look, I got two comments, so I hope you'll give me time, because I am one of the right-wingers calling in, just so you know.
Oh, my God.
All right, I'm going to go.
You can't scare me. I'm related to many of you.
Oh, God. I heard you say that. That's true. And just so you know, nobody ingrained it into me. I mean, I'm 29. I became a conservative on my own. I just chose it.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
But anyways, as far as the Trayvon Robinson case goes, I agree with everything that your callers are saying. I mean, you know, this was wrong. A child is dead.
So why do the Newt Gingriches and Rick Santorums of the world
because
say the
idiots.
President's politicizing it? Oh, okay. Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
I think I already brought you to the light. I don't think.
No, you don't.
Join us.
That's actually going to lead into my next comment.
Uh-oh.
So if you let me go there. Okay, I listen to NPR, right? I listen to Rush. I listen to Hannity. I've heard you with Hannity, by the way, and you do a good job on the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You know, I've got to be quite frank with you, Stephanie. I'm at a point now where I'm just, like, sick of all of everything. I'm tired of it.
Of all of us.
No, not of you. I enjoy the personalities. I enjoy talk radio. What I'm saying is that the Newt Gingriches, the Rick Santorums, you know, all of us conservatives can't be stuck in one box.
That's right.
You know, I'm in my 20s. I mean, you know, I live my life. I do a lot of stuff that, you know, if anybody knew about, I wouldn't be able to call myself a conservative. But,
yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, we're not all the same. And, you know,
Jeff, look, it pains me to say this, but Sean Hannity and I talked for an hour yesterday because we actually really like each other. Personally, I hate what he does politically, and he knows that. He probably hates everything I stand for politically.
He does.
But, you know, what can you say? Look, he called me when my dog died because we both have giant dogs, and he knows that this was years ago, and, you know, it was a very human, nice thing to do. And then he offered to buy me a dog, and then we got in a fight because I'm like, I'm a liberal. I rescue dogs. I don't buy in any way. It ended badly, as most, most things do with men. But anyway. You know, Jeff, that's all I'm saying is, and I think this case, the Trayvon Martin case, there's also a human element to this that, like you're saying right now, transcends partisanship, doesn't it?
Of course, because, I mean, I have a child, and I'll be honest with you, I'm a single father with custody, but my wife left me and my daughter, and I'm raising my child. And, you know, whether a child is black or Hispanic or whatever color, you know, when a child gets shot, at 14 years old, walking down the street, eating a bag of Skittles, we all know it's wrong.
Right. Right.
Right? Rick Santorum can say whatever he wants. Newt Gingrich can say whatever he wants to try to please the, you know, the racists and the Bible thumpers in our party. But my main point is, and the main reason why I wanted to call in and talk to you is just that I'm really literally at a point now where I don't even feel like I can talk to progressives at a level anymore where we can even accomplish anything.
Well, we just did, didn't we?
Yeah, but on the street, Stephanie, the vitriol.
I know, no,
so
I know.
Intense.
But that's why you and I are doing our part here. And we can also agree on one other thing, and that is your ex-wife sucks.
Yeah, she does.
All right. Love you, Jeff. Thanks for calling. Let's go to Nathan in California. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Nathan.
Hey, I just wanted to
make a comment about the Rush thing.
Yeah.
I had noticed, you know, when it first happened, I went on the FCC's website, and they actually have a section about shock jock hosts, and it says that obscene speech is not even protected by the First Amendment and is not allowed to be broadcast at any time.
Right, but what he said is not considered obscene. The FCC considers seven dirty words that George Carlin made famous.
It's obnoxious.
Obscene. Yes, it's obnoxious.
It's just not obscene.
It's another ob word.
Yeah.
It's not obscene. Yeah.
And ironically, if you pronounce FCC a certain way, it's one of the seven words.
And that's why I was saying the Bill Maher thing is not a good analogy, because he doesn't have the FCC like Rush and Sean and I do. He's on cable.
Right, and he's not a Democrat. And
he's not a Democrat. And the thing they're talking about is something he said at a stage show, which is it's a stand-up show.
It's definitely not covered by the FCC.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we were talking about who's 2 years old? Healthcare is!
Would you?
Let's all go to Chuck E. Cheese. Let's do the ball jump.
But that soup of bacteria? Yeah, no thank
yes,
you.
Yes, but this is just incredible. Who 2 years ago, Jim, said Passage's health care reform is Armageddon because the law will ruin our country?
Oh, any random Republican.
That's actually right. That was a good guess. Yeah, Boner. John Boner.
Yeah, well, yeah. He's about as random as it gets.
Oh, God!
Healthcare, and then he cried. Healthcare reform. What, did I see a picture of him crying on St. Patrick's Day? What was he crying about?
He was crying because there was some Irish music playing.
Corned beef and cabbage.
Yes, he was crying.
Oh, my God, and his orange, ran onto his green tie. Wow. It was a mess. Okay.
Yeah, and it just made an ugly, dark brown color.
Who said health care reform will destroy the country because in the next year or so, America will have to dramatically cut the military because we can't pay for it?
Mitch McConnell, a talking turtle.
No. Crothy, former senator of Santorum. Who said there will be no insurance industry left in 3 years? Who said that
Paul
3 years
Ryan.
Ago? No. Good guess, though. Senator Tom Coburn, Republican of Oklahoma.
Close.
Who said, this is the end of prosperity in America forever, the end of America as you know it?
Mahatma Gandhi.
No, Glenn Beck said that.
Really? Sure. Close.
Okay, and one last one. said, I have a message for you. You're going to die soon. When you restrict the ability of the primary caregivers in this country to do what's best for their senior patients, what we're doing is limiting their life expectancy. Who said that?
Dr. Kevorkian.
No. Tom Coburn.
Very good guess, though.
By the way, load the liar cannon. Romney celebrating a health care reform anniversary by lying about it.
What's it like to be a liar? Huh? You like being a liar with pants constantly on fire?
Mm-hmm. On the second anniversary of the Affordable Care Act, Mitt Romney seems willing to say almost anything to distance himself from the fact that his health care plan is the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
He told at least three Whoppers in Louisiana. Just this past week or weekend, he said a recent Congressional Budget Office report concluded the costs of the law have doubled.
You, sir, are a liar. liar, your pants are on fire!
Cited a discredited study claiming that 30% of employers will stop offering insurance as a result of the law.
Oh, you're a liar. You're just a liar. You always were.
Mm-hmm. And insisted the Catholic Church would be required to offer birth control to its employees.
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
All those Whoppers and he wasn't even at Burger King.
Nope.
No.
These are hamburgers.
Oh, Etchy McSketcherson. No.
They also have Whoppers at the movies. There are those
candies. Oh, that's true.
Yes.
Oh, looky here. The House Republicans accidentally accept the constitutionality of the Affordable Care Act. I guess the Supreme Court can cancel the hearings today.
Well, there are 3 days of hearings that are going to be going on this week about health care.
On Thursday, House Republicans stripped language from their own health care bill that can undermine their argument that the Democrats' 2010 health care law abused the Commerce Clause of the Constitution.
Oh, boy.
Who's going to fall out of the clown car next? their bill actually reads, Congress finds the health care and insurance industries are industries affecting interstate commerce and the health care liability litigation system existing throughout the U.S. or activities that affect interstate commerce by contributing to the high cost of health care and premiums for health care liability insurance purchased by health care system providers. The administration deploying this very argument. They can maybe just cut and paste from the Republicans' bill and file it in their Supreme Court brief.
Oh, wow.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour. Oh, we're going to meet Surly Associate Producer Rebecca Taylor.
She's going to come in and appear on TV.
Yeah. See what you have to deal with on the phones in a second on The Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number. Aw, that's so cute. I got a text from the guy that owns the show.
Yeah.
He's trying to kill me for the life insurance money. Says I look fabulous on TV this morning. Wants a date. Or to just get married and merge our corporate interests. So romantic.
Is that what the kids are calling it these days?
That's what the 1% is calling it these days.
Even he loves me now that I'm a video star. Here. It's one of my biggest fans, Surly Associate Producer Rebecca Taylor, who hates me with the heat of 1,000 white hot suns. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning, bitch. What do you want? Can't you tell I'm busy? This is a very important day.
Don't feel the need to tone it down in any way. Did you see I just asked her to come on? I just poked my head out and she's like, what?
What do you want now?
I don't have time for this. Crap, okay?
Because you have to go back and abuse people on the phones.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Turn down your freaking radio, idiot!
Yeah, Rebecca is, she's the phone bouncer.
She
and
is.
Also, when Jim is late, which, as you can already tell by this morning show, happens quite a bit. Rebecca has to bust out her one impression. Did you bring a chart to do your Ross Perot impression?
No, but I can do charades or whatnot. Here we go. Now, can I finish? Can I finish? Can I finish? I got a pie chart.
Okay, Rebecca, thanks. You can get back to your...
Thank you.
Back to your...
Where am I? Why am I up here?
Get back to your phone hovel or whatever it is you do.
All right. See ya.
All right. Thank you.
I love her.
She's awesome. Okay. Oh, Beth in Minneapolis sent me a picture of her cat in a hoodie. Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. There's got to be, there's going to be a website we love more than Cats Who Look Like
cats
Hitler.
Cats in hoodies.
CatsWhoLookLikeHitler.com was always our favorite before.
Cats Who Look Like Wilford Brimley.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just saying cats in hoodies. Maybe the next one.
There was also lesbians that looked like Justin Bieber.
True. Oh, that's true. Or men who look like old lesbians.
Men who look like old
Rachel Maddow's at the top of that list.
Yeah. All right.
Actually, it's the other way around. Justin Bieber looks just like Rachel Maddow.
All right. Joe Biden jumping on the Etch-a-Sketch humor.
Governor Romney supports cut, cap, and balance, and which is yet another demonstration that there is no daylight between Governor Romney and Republican leaders on the most important issues facing this country. And not even Romney's Etch-a-Sketch can change that. You're not going to be able to do that. I mean, he may buy a new one, but he can't do it.
All right. He's a little straggler on the edge of sketch humor, but good for him.
Bless his heart.
Bless his little heart.
Remove funny bone. Ha, ha, ha. No, it's the wrong toy.
That's operation.
Mitt Romney's funny bone was removed a long time ago.
These are pancakes.
Yeah.
And besides, Mitt doesn't have a song like Rick Santorum does. Can we hear again the, who's this?
There's a couple of songs.
It's a Christian duo.
Oh, God.
Neil and Haley.
Yeah.
Yeah, they wrote a song for Rick.
Game on!
Ugh.
Join the fight. We finally got a man who will stand for what is right. Game on! Victory's in sight.
Oh, boy.
We've got a man who understands that God gave the Bill of Rights. Oh, there is hope for our nation again.
Ew, this is awful.
Maybe the first time since we
This is an affront to music.
Oh, they have good voices.
Right. It's just kind of your basic.
They're trying to be the right-wing Indigo Girls.
Yeah, they're kind of up with people-y.
I don't think they understand that the Indigo Girls are lesbians.
What? They've got pep. Straight
I'm
pep.
So disillusioned.
Straight pep.
They have straight pep.
Yeah.
You can't best have, kind.
You can't have lesbian pep.
No.
I hate pep.
All right. Wow, what's with the, they have, there are some other singers. The Pennsylvania Republican Conference had to apologize for a band singing about fighting the corruption of the Jewish banks.
Of the,
They played a song with anti-Semitic lyrics, prompting the Santorum and Gingrich, both scheduled to address them. The lyrics included, "We're fighting the corruption of the Jewish banks, but when the Jews come to feed us, we always say thanks."
Is it set to the tune of the Horst Wessel lied?
Yeah, what? Who thought, who greenlighted that?
I don't think Republicans even notice bigotry anymore. It's just, you know.
They don't notice bigotry or little tree. They don't care about trees.
You see, because
Chico Mark Schumer from the 1930s.
That's current.
That's as current as it gets here on current.
Current.
That's as current as we're going to get. Your favorite, Grover Norquist? He spoke at the same conference. He said Republican lawmakers who vote for tax increases are rat heads in a Coke bottle.
Huh?
Hmm. You know who put tax increases in? Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan. Yes, I know. Yeah. Here was, he said the same way Coca-Cola would lose customers if a rat head was found in a Coke bottle, Republicans voting for tax increases damaged the brand. That was his point.
I didn't think you could fit Grover Norquist said in a bottle. But,
no, he's,
you know,
he's kind of round.
Yeah. And then he mentioned Reagan, who raised taxes 11 times.
There
11
I did
times,
again.
Including the largest peacetime increase in American history.
Oops, I did it again.
I love this. Did you see when he was on The Daily Show, he refused to criticize Reagan for the tax increases because he said he hadn't signed the pledge. Why do I get the feeling that Ronald Reagan would have wiped his ass with Grover Norquist's pledge? I mean, really? Do you think, because I wasn't around. Ugh. All right, the president is funny. Our president is funnier. He's a better singer.
Smarter.
He's more
doggone it, people like it.
Romantic.
Handsome, romantic.
Speaking at an event in Oklahoma, when shaking hands with the crowd, a woman excitedly informed him she was born in the same Hawaiian hospital as he was, and he quickly said, "Do you have a birth certificate?"
Hey!
He's funny and handsome. Okay, let's go to Sue in Rockville, Maryland. Hey, Sue, welcome.
Hey, I'm so glad to see you all on TV, but you made me lose the pool because you made it through the first show.
Yeah. I know. Well, are we still on? Can someone confirm that?
I guess. The other thing is I love seeing you on the big screen, but if you want to have boobs, you need high def. So please put a request in.
Yes, I'll get on that.
Now, Stephanie,
yes.
Here's the thing. I'm wondering where the death panels are, because Dick Cheney got a new heart. And if there are death panels...
Well, that's because he has fancy government health care, as you know.
Could Sarah Palin be wrong?
No. When would that ever happen? Let's go to Stephanie in Tucson. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Steph.
Hi. One comment I've noticed nobody's making is that bigots do not know they're bigots.
Yeah.
And I think the Zimmerman thing is going to bring to public attention the concept that maybe we're all prejudiced to some extent and we need to check ourselves before we act on that.
Well, that's what the president was saying. That's all he said, is we all should do some soul searching when something like this happens. Rich, we get to end with you in Minneapolis. Hey, Rich, welcome.
Steph, is it true that although the police did not ask or bring Zimmerman into the station, they did ask him to go out for donuts?
All right, that's, wow. Now there's some current, it's some cop and donut humor to end our first show with. All right, that's it. Woo, we made it through our first show. All right, that is.
Now we ended with cop and donut humor.
Wow. Charlie Pierce. Esquire.com tomorrow.
That's right, and we're looking at David Schuster as well.
David Schuster, the most interesting man in the world from current TV. And a big week. We have a big first week lined up on
current
TV.
That's right. Hal Sparks is going to be with us as usual on Wednesday.
Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks on Wednesday. Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang on Friday.
Kathleen Madigan on Thursday.
Go to sexyliberal.com, Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Thank all y'all for tuning in for our first show. We maybe will see you tomorrow as far as we know.
Hopefully.
I'd like to thank executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, surly associate producer Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.